This interview was being conducted with Mr. Bill Teague on March 9th, 2007 at the George Peabody House Museum. The interview is one in a series being conducted as part of the project Making Leather, Living Life, documenting the history of the leather industry in Peabody. The interviewer is myself, Marieke Van Dam, curator of the George Peabody House Museum. Now, Bill, I want to know how you ended up on the North Shore, because you aren't from around these parts.
No. I was transferred here with a company that made steel containers. And they actually moved here hoping to sell the containers to people who made leather finish. And then I needed extra money, and I got involved in the leather business working nights.
And you're originally from down south?
Right, from Alabama.
Okay.
A little town of about 50 people, just a crossroads.
Did they have a leather industry down there? No,
none whatsoever.
Okay.
And, but I got involved in it just for extra money, and I just liked the business. I was involved in the finishing end of the business, not the tanning, where you would take crushed leather and make different kinds of prints and smooths and hair cells and skivers and different grains on leather. Mm-hmm. Imitation alligators and lizards and whatever. And just loved taking a piece of leather that looked like nothing, and when it come out the other end, it was nice, you know. And to have the right feel and texture and anything anybody would like about it.
So you started working up here.
Yeah.
And what was your job and where were you working?
The first job I had working in the leather business was for Leonard Leather, who was owned by Mayor Michael Bonfanti's uncle. And strictly done contract finishing. Mm-hmm. We'd get crushed leather in from different tanneries or jobbers out of New York, and we used to take blacks, browns, and make smooths and prints. And I would mainly, when I first started, was working on a seasoning machine.
A seasoning?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they called it. It's a big rubber belt about 25 feet long. Had a head on one end with a corrugated roll and a brush that put the finish on. Then you had two guys with swabs that smooth the finish off on both sides, and a guy catching it at the end of the belt, putting it on a stick dryer, which went down a tunnel that had heat in it, and it went around in a big circle, and then the guy stripping it off of that and putting it on a table or a horse, and just a continuous process. Mm-hmm. And most of the time you had to do two or three coats. And you would, the leather would go from there most of the time the leather was crust plated to start with. That it would be run through an embossing machine with a sand plate or a hair sail to smooth it out more before the finish went on it. Then after it had been through the seasoning machine, it would usually get a top coat, and then go to the embossing machines, which big heavy duty, I don't even know what the tonnage was on them, where a guy'd feed in like 18 inches of leather, and the machine would come up and press it, and the guy would pull it out the other end and stop the machine and every 18 inches and to smooth it out. Then it would go from there back to the spray machines and get either an emulsion cut, a coat for a top coat, or a lacquer coat. And it would be measured and rolled up in bundles and shipped. Mm-hmm. Never had any shipping cartons back then. Everything was tied in bundles. Most time you'd be five skins in a bundle, mm-hmm. and then two bundles two rolls in a bundle, then wrapped in paper bundle and tied with rope, regular. And the finishing business was unreal. I mean, it's just, everybody had something to do with the leather business. Mm-hmm. Every little garage, most time, either had somebody doing dry splitting, or people had toggling, contract toggling. Everything was to do with the leather industry. Mm-hmm. The Lotus Hardware used to always be just mobbed with people buying parts.